Hello, everybody. It's George from Ireland. So I'm going to explain how Ukraine is indeed winning the Battle of the Black Sea. I think they've won it, so they mustn't crow prematurely. There may be still a long way to go. And, you know, one mustn't underestimate Russian resilience. I think this war is going to continue for at least another year and a half, could be several years. You know, look at the Syrian civil war. Nobody thought we'd be going 12 years later. Look at the Libyan civil war. Nobody thought it was going to be going 12 years later, and on and on. All right. So because it was on the 13th of September that there was a Ukrainian missile strike on two dry docks in Sevastopol. That is the main port on the Crimean Peninsula, that Ukrainian peninsula, which Russia illegally seized in 2014. Russia having freely agreed this was Ukrainian sovereign soil. Putin himself signed a treaty recognizing it as illegally Ukrainian in 2003. Putting your name to the document like that in Russia would be a crime today, a document that Putin himself signed. There were two Russian warships and a submarine there. Looks like all three of them were damaged. It's impossible to assess just how severely right now. So it could take months to repair them and to remove the debris. And Ukraine used 10 British-made cruise missiles for this strike. Now, the cruise missiles are very expensive. They're at least several million dollars a pop. And Ukraine doesn't have many of them, which underscores the importance the Ukrainians attach to taking out this dry dock. It's a very large one. The Russians ended up having a floating dry dock off Murmansk in the Russian Arctic, which sank 5 years ago, and they've still been able to salvage it. And they've only got one other dry dock of this size, and that's their other major sea, the Pacific Ocean. They don't have one in the Baltic, because the Baltic is very enclosed. There's a stretch of about 3 kilometers between Denmark and Sweden at the narrowest point. So NATO countries could very, very easily interdict them there. Denmark's a NATO country, Finland is as well, and Sweden probably joining in a matter of months. So they don't want to be trapped in there. That's why more the open seas would have these dry docks. Of course, the Black Sea, they can be trapped in very easily, because it's only 800 meters in the Bosphorus in Turkey, across the that waterway that flows through the middle of Istanbul, Turkey. So this dry dock being out of commission is a major headache for the Ruskis, because the dry dock themselves only been slightly damaged. They are very tough, they're very durable and difficult to destroy. But Russians will have to clear the debris, but the Sevastopol dry dock, even if it's fully operational, ships in there are sitting ducks because they're there for weeks undergoing repairs, and ships need to come in at least every few years for a full refit. And so Russia will be unable to repair ships in the Black Sea. So they want to sail out of the Black Sea to go through to go all the way to Murmansk. Well, they can't go there, to go all the way to the Pacific Ocean. That's a very long way. Are they going to make it? There might be sink on the way if they're already badly damaged. And will NATO block them? I'm not sure NATO's even going to allow them out through the Bosphorus Strait. I'm not sure what the international agreement is. But, you know, NATO didn't try and prevent that for decades. For the first time, they might do. And, you know, if they can't defeat the Ukrainians, how on earth are they going to defeat NATO? If they can't defeat Ukraine with 40 million people, how are they going to defeat NATO with 500 million people? Coming on to this, Russia does have some smaller dry docks in the Black Sea, and Novorossiysk, and I can't remember the other port, is in the Sochi, but they cannot perform complex repairs or repair particularly big ships. So these Russian ships in the Black Sea are going to be increasingly no longer seaworthy. And another significant move is a few days ago, I think it's 11th of September, Ukraine, they retook some oil platforms in the Black Sea, oil and gas platforms, having their special forces there. Now, the Russians were using this as helicopter landing pads. They were storing things there because, you know, ships don't have very much space. So any extra food, water, ammunition, whatever, store it there, and then you can bring it on board when you need it, when you're running low. And they were launching missiles from there, but they can no longer do that. I mean, the Ukrainians, I don't think they can hold those sea oil platforms. They might be better off destroying them rather than leaving the possibility of the Ukrainians, as the Russians retaking them. The Ukrainians, they try and garrison them, you know, they could be a sitting duck themselves. Russia's put an awful lot of assets into Crimea. I mean, they built airfields, they upgraded that dry dock, as I said. They've got tens of thousands of ground troops, they've got tanks, artillery, so on, and rocket systems. And the Ukrainians claim they took out a Russian air defense system the other day, which costs a lot, tens of billions of dollars. So control of the Black Sea is absolutely critical for Russia. They want to interdict Ukrainian grain exports, which is a big part of their economy. Remember, the Ukrainian economy, it shrank 30% in the first year of the war. And if it's going to, if most of their grain exports and so on are going to be stopped, it'll shrink even more. And that'll put an even heavier burden on the European Union in particular to provide financial support to sustain the Ukrainian war effort. I mean, the European Union is giving the Ukrainian 6 billion euros a month simply to sustain vital operations, to pay salaries, to maintain civil infrastructure and so on. It'll be up higher, 7 million, how much higher? Sorry, 7 billion, how much higher? If the Ukrainians can't earn a significant amount through exports of cereal crops and such like, sunflower oil, sunflower seeds. So the Russian ships that were in the Black Sea, they could also bombard Ukrainian cities. And another reason for Russia to try and control the Black Sea is to be able to resupply Crimea by sea, because, of course, they can use the land corridor. That's coming under threat as the Ukrainians advance in Zaporizhia region. And there's the main road and railway line through there towards Crimea might come within range of the Ukrainians. Obviously, you can fly things in, but there are only so many planes, and flying is obviously the most expensive way, fuel-intensive way, and could be shot down, because if one missile hits the plane, it's gone, because ships can often survive being hit several times, depending on the size of the missile and exactly where they're hit. They're not so incredibly flammable as planes. And normally, planes, if you're hit, that's it. You know, you're going to go down fast. Everybody's going to die. Everything's destroyed. Ships often have time to evacuate. Other ships can come to the rescue. And of course, there's the Crimea Bridge, well across the Kerch Strait, that Putin drove the very first truck over, opened several years ago at great expense. That's been hit several times, but has only been taken out of commission for a few hours at a time. And the NATO countries have been very behindhand in not supplying enough missiles to take that down. It could have been taken down right at the beginning of the war. But, you know, if they can't use the land corridor, if they can't, if the bridge is taken down, if flying is not safe because the Ukrainians have got air superiority, something close to it, then by sea is the only way. And Putin faces an unenviable quandary, double down or back down. I mean, he usually doubles down. He did back down of Kherson and withdrew, but Crimea is vital to him. That was the highest point of his popularity when they seized that in 2014. Even some moderate liberal Russians agreed with that. And imagine if that's jeopardized, imagine if he loses that. So he'd do everything he could to maintain that. But then if Crimea is lost, that's so many more thousands of troops, tens of thousands forced to surrender, so many tanks, so many artillery pieces, so many air defense assets and so on, falling into Ukrainian hands, or at best are being destroyed so the Ukrainians can't use them. And that'd be a real nightmare scenario for Putin, where they've more than hinted they might resort to weapons of mass destruction to try and retain their illegal control of the Crimean Peninsula. Incidentally, a convoy of merchant ships left Ukraine a couple of days ago, carrying grain and such like, going across the Black Sea, escorted by the Royal Air Force and the British Air Force, and seem to have made it. So it looks like Russia's illegal blockade of Ukrainian goods might be ending. Remember, they ended the Black Sea Grain Initiative. Right, thank you for watching. Please subscribe to my channel, georgecallahan79@gmail.com. Is me on PayPal. Please donate. Goodbye.